Let's take our Bibles this evening and open up to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're talking about prayer. You probably still have the handout from last week. And we got about a third of the way through it last time. We saw last week some habits to prayer from Luke 18:1. We saw we should pray consistently. From 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray ceaselessly, and then from Hebrews 4:16 to pray courageously. And so those should be some habits that we develop in our lives as believers in Christ. We're in capital letter B, hindrances to prayer. We all know that there's times that we pray and God doesn't seem to respond. And here's some suggestions as to why that may be the case. The first was that of sin in Isaiah 59 and Psalm 66, 18. Sometimes sin gets in our lives and God assures us that if there's sin, he will not hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so a second hindrance to prayer we saw out of James chapter 4, verse number 3, that they ask, they receive not because they ask amiss. And the idea there was that of selfishness, praying only, I'm not exactly sure how to word it, because we're supposed to take our prayer requests before God, but they just wanted everything to the detriment of others. And so totally selfish prayer requests, and they had no regard for the glory of God. They had no regard for the needs and the feelings and the desires of other people. And so that was a hindrance to the prayers. God didn't hear their and answer their prayers. Now we're going to move on to number three here under capital letter B, 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that were desired of him. And so God just makes it very clear that if we ask according to the will of God, it doesn't matter what we ask, he'll answer. He talked about, when he was here on earth, about moving mountains and casting them in the sea. According to the will of God, nothing is impossible with God. What is the only thing? And I thought about putting this on the list, but I didn't. I think I mentioned that last week. There are so many other things that could be put on this list that we could be doing it till the end of the year and just scratching the surface. But what is the only thing that limits God's hand working in our lives? Okay, our faith. And you remember when Jesus went to Nazareth, the Bible tells very specifically he couldn't do much there because of their lack of faith. And so he gives us this blanket assurance. Notice what he says again in verse 14. If we ask anything in the middle of that verse, if we ask anything. And then in verse number 15, again in the middle of that verse, whatsoever we ask. God just offers us a blank check. He says, you fill in the amount and I'll fulfill it. As long as it's according to his will, there is nothing too big, nor is there anything too small. Now, the problem, though, and how this can become a hindrance to prayer is our stubbornness. Stubbornness. And that's what the blank is supposed to be, a stubbornness. And have fun fitting all of that into the little blank. Guy writes microscopically. He could probably do it, but I really had to squeeze it in to get that word there. But sometimes we're just stubborn. We want what we want, and we don't care what God thinks. We know what's right. Even if God doesn't agree with us, then God's wrong. And we would never say those things. But oftentimes that is just the way we respond and the way that we act in prayer. Remember Paul and his thorn in the flesh. How many times did he pray? Three times, because he got an answer. That answer was no. That answer was not what he wanted to hear. Now, his prayer was not selfish. We know that. I talked about it last week. But the idea here is that Paul was listening for the answer. And when the answer wasn't what he expected or what he wanted, he accepted it. He was not stubborn. He was entirely submitted to the will of God. Sometimes I think we don't listen to the answers to prayer because we stubbornly will not accept no as an answer. Now, again, that doesn't go against what we talked about previously in Luke 18:1 about praying consistently, just pestering God until he gives us what we want. But the idea is that we keep coming and we keep coming until we have that answer. Sometimes he gives us that answer pretty quickly. Like I say, Paul, three times, and he had the answer. Sometimes he gives it that quickly, and we just need to yield to the will of God. God has his purpose. We may not understand it. He tells us that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. And so we just need to learn to trust him. And that's a faith issue. And that's why I mentioned that the only thing hindering God is our faith. Just simply trusting he knows what's best. We may look at the big picture and we may think that this is what we need. Just like Paul thought, if the thorn is removed, I can be so much more effective in my ministry. He didn't pray selfishly. He was praying for the glory of God and for motivated by the burden for the lost. And so we may think that, you know, if God will just answer the prayer, I can serve him so much more effectively. But God in heaven knows exactly what we need to be effective. And we don't always understand that. And so we just need to yield. We need to get rid of the stubbornness of our heart and yield to the will of God. And when that stubbornness, that lack of hearing, is something that is continuous or becomes a habit, then it will hinder our prayers. Hinder our prayers, not praying according to the will of God. And so those are three hindrances to prayer. There's other hindrances. We could, as I've said several times, keep talking about this subject because God spent a lot of time in his word talking about prayer. And so I want to take just a little bit of time now and let her see how to pray. I think the best place to go for getting that question answered is in the Lord's model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Now, we're not going to look at every detail. We're just going to go through it pretty quickly, this passage of Scripture, picking a few things here and there that will help us know how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6, well, let's back up just a little bit. Let's look at verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And so he gives us the reason or the significance of them praying in the synagogue or praying in the corners of the streets, so that they can get maximum publicity, so that they can get the most amount of people seeing and hearing them pray, so that other people will have them in admiration because of their ability to pray. Do you ever hear those people that just really know how to pray? Henry van der Ark, he's a fellow that you would have no idea who he is, but when you get to heaven, let me encourage you to look him up. He was a obviously with the name van der Ark, was a Dutchman in Grand Rapids, and he was just a little, thin, wiry fella. But I used to love to hear Henry pray. He was a member of my home church when I first got saved. And it was kind of intimidating when I was asked to pray because I couldn't pray like Henry could pray. And I wouldn't dare call him Henry to his face, to be honest with you, like Mr. van der Ark could pray. But you know, that doesn't have anything to do with it, does it? And I'm not saying that Mr. van der Ark was like these hypocrites because he wasn't. He was the real thing. And that's why he's on a pedestal in my life, because he was an example to me, a mentor from afar as I watched him live for the Lord. But when we hear people that can really pray, sometimes we're discouraged. We think, well, because I can't pray like that, I'm afraid to pray out loud. And God says that doesn't have anything to do with it. Look at the next verse, verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, oftentimes we take this passage of Scripture to mean that when we have our prayer time, we should do it where no one can observe us, where no one can hear us. And it certainly teaches us that in our private prayer life, but it certainly doesn't teach that we ought not pray out loud in church. It doesn't mean that we ought not pray in front of other people. What it's telling us as well, when we do pray in front of others, whether it be in church or somewhere else, pray as if you're in that prayer closet. Don't pray to the people that are listening. Pray to God. Have you ever heard anyone, and I've heard a lot of people pray this way, when they pray, and preachers are the worst of all of us, the worst of the bunch for this. You ever hear a pastor finish his sermon and he preaches his sermon in his closing prayer? I've heard guys do that. I've been tempted to do that myself. I've probably done it somewhere along the line, probably more than once. I try not to do that because I don't want to be talking to you folks when I'm supposed to be talking to God. And so when we keep that in mind, that we're in that secret place of prayer with God, it doesn't matter if we're in front of a crowd. It doesn't matter if we're on our own. It should be no difference. Just you and God having a conversation with Him. Others may be able to listen in on it and say amen because they're joining with it. But when we do that, it doesn't matter how eloquent we may be or how much we stumble and stutter as we talk. In fact, we may stumble and stutter a little less because we're realizing, you know, the person behind me or across the room, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to God. And so that helps calm the nerves. And I always had a problem with that. Did I ever tell you the first time I was asked to pray? It was at a Wednesday night prayer meeting. I had no idea what I was getting myself into just after I got saved. And there were six or seven of us, and we went around the circle, and I was supposed to pray next to last. And I started getting nervous when I was told I had to pray out loud. And then the closer we got to me, the more nervous I got. When the guy to my right, and I was supposed to follow him, prayed, I was so nervous, I almost passed out. Literally, my head was spinning. I thought I was going to die. And then the first time I had to pray out loud in a church service, same situation, or very similar situation, the song leader, we had a big special day, and that place was packed. We had an auditorium, but we had the old accordion doors on the sides, and you roll those back, and you've got room for another 100 people in the wings. So it was our overflow seating, and they folded those curtains back, and they set up all those chairs, and every chair was full, and every seat was occupied in the main auditorium. And I'm sitting in the front because I got there a little late, and there was nowhere else to sit. And I mean the front row. I don't just mean second or third row front. I mean front row. And so the song leader looks out there and he looks right at me and says, Ken, after this song, I'm going to have you open our service in prayer. I thought I was going to die again. I couldn't sing the song. I tried, but I croaked like a frog who just got his foot stepped on. It was terrible. But then I realized that when I pray, I'm to enter into my closet, just me and God. And that makes things doable. It doesn't matter how much I stumble and stammer. Stutter and stammer is what I'm trying to get out. But because I'm just talking to God, and He understands these things. He knows what's in my heart. My words may not make sense to you when I pray, but they do to God. He knows what I'm trying to say. And so when we pray, we're to pray secretly. Just you and God, whether you're alone with Him or in a group. Pray secretly. Don't pray for the benefit of others. All right, verse number 7. But when ye pray, use not vain reputations as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. What's an example of vain repetition? Reciting the Lord's Prayer. I was cornered on that one in the church in Ohio by someone who came out of a liturgical type church. They were had gotten saved and weren't getting fed, and they realized they needed to go somewhere that actually teaches the Bible. And so they had a couple other stops, but they found a home in our church. But I got cornered on that. Why don't we recite the Lord's Prayer every service? That was actually, why don't Baptists recite the Lord's Prayer in every service? And so I had to answer that question. That's one example. What's another example? Okay, the faith healers. What about, tongues. They're just yammering and yibbering away. They're not saying anything. I'm just thinking a little Jakey, my grandson that we visited this weekend. I didn't understand hardly a word that boy said. You know why? Not because he's only 2 years old, because he speaks Spanish, and I don't. And that was my daughter and son-in-law's desires, that his first language would be Spanish, because once he gets into school, it'll be all English from that part forward. And they want to preserve his heritage. And so when I figured out he was speaking Spanish, it became a little easier. But anyway, the poor boy couldn't understand me either, because he doesn't understand a whole lot of English. But, baby talk, that's what speaking in tongues pretty much is. Repeating the same sounds over and over and over and over and over. That's vain repetition. I remember when my stepmom's mother was on her deathbed in the hospital. My stepmom asked me to go visit her. And I went in and she had this necklace in her hands and couldn't hear her, but her mouth was moving as she went from bead to bead. You know what I'm talking about. Vain repetition. A lot of people pray in vain repetition. But God wants us to pray specifically. And we talked about this, I believe, not too long ago in a different message. I believe in John, when we were in the book of John, I believe is when I talked about praying specifically. So I'm not going to belabor the point. But we don't need to pray the same thing over and over and over again. God heard us the first time. Sometimes we're like that little kid in the grocery store that wants that toy. Mom, can I have that toy? Can I have this toy? Can I have that toy? And that's the way we pray sometimes. God hears it. And so we need not come that way. Just come specifically. Tell God exactly what you want. He hears it. Have faith that he has heard your request and that he'll respond. And then listen. Listen for the response. All right, that's another one I didn't get put in here, but in Ephesians chapter 6, talks about praying, and it says, watch thereunto. Pay attention for God to work in your life. All right, let's zoom down to verse number 10. Verse number 10. I touched on this one already. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Can you guess what the blank in number 3 is? Submissively. Very good. Now, they don't start with S from this point on, and so I couldn't alliterate the rest of them. But pray submissively, yielding our every desire, our every want, our every need, yielding it all to God's wisdom and his provision. It's easy for us to say, isn't it? It may not be quite so easy to live. And so we just need to do that. You know what? That means that when God says no, we don't moan and groan about it. We don't complain that, well, I didn't get to have this, I didn't get to have that. I didn't get to do this or that. Just simply trusting God. He knows what's best. All right, let's go to verse number 11. Very simple verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Not just short, sweet, to the point. He doesn't belabor it. He just says, hey, I got to eat. Give me something to eat. What I see there is praying trustingly. He's trusting that God will provide his needs. Of course, Jesus asked that classic question that when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? I don't know that he's talking about the lost people. They don't have faith. The best they can do is have faith in faith, but not faith in God. I think he's talking to the Christians when he made that statement. Will we believe God? It's imperative, especially when we come to prayer. Why pray if we don't believe that God will act, that God wants to give us the very best, that God has promised to supply our every need? And so he's teaching us that when he says, simply give us this day our daily bread. Just simple, childlike faith in God. When I was a kid, you're probably the same way. When you pulled up to the dinner table, you weren't concerned whether there'd be food there or not. It wasn't any of your concern. You knew that mom or dad would work the job and provide the money, and mom would do the cooking. And at least in most homes, that's the way it worked. Not in all, but in most. And that when you were hungry and you pulled up to the dinner table, there'd be something there. May not be your favorite, but you ate it anyway. You didn't have much choice, did you? But my mom used to make, she just called it tuna. She'd take a can of tuna, make some gravy with milk, and she'd put pimentos in it. I think pimentos came from the same place that Brussels sprouts came from. And it ain't heaven, I'll tell you that. Man, all of us, me and my brother, we all hated it. But we ate it. We didn't have any choice. But you know, there's always something there. And sometimes God provides the same way. He gives us our need. It may not be Chick-fil-A every night. Just think what we'd look like if we ate Chick-fil-A every night. I mean, we'd be in a hospital with a IV tube in our arm because we'd be so sick. But anyway, may not always be what seems to be the greatest, but it meets our needs. And we need to trust God that he'll do that. All right, verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I just put the word humbly. Pray humbly before God. And this is where, if you watch the PTL Club or our 700 Club or any of those guys, they have completely lost sight of this. God is nothing more than a little kid that they boss around. They're in charge. They get two guys to agree that they need $1 million. And so they tell God, you have to give us $1 million or you're not God. There is no humility in that. We need to come recognizing our sinfulness, recognizing that we, other than through the blood of Christ, in our relationship with God through him, have no right to be there. Have no right to bring any request. Have this sense of awareness of our sin in the presence of God. What did Isaiah say when he saw the Lord high and lifted up? Woe is me. That should be our attitude when we come in prayer. And that'll tend to temper the things we say in prayer so that we don't have a problem praying submissively and praying trustingly. Because it'll put us in our place, which then will exalt God to his rightful place. And so we need to always remember that. We need to pray humbly. All right, verse number 12. Forgive us our debts. Notice the second part. As we forgive our debtors. And in case the disciples didn't get it, he repeats something along this line in verse 14. In other words, he elaborates. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so we're to pray forgivingly. Remember, if we have sin in our lives, it'll hinder our prayer life. God says, I'm not forgiving your sin until you forgive that person who's wronged you. Sometimes forgiveness is a difficult thing. Sometimes people can really wound us and really hurt us and really do us wrong. God says our obligation is to forgive them. Because we have not yet had to reach to the level of forgiveness that God did willingly and lovingly when He saved us. Or when we confess our sin at any point thereafter. They have not offended us as much as we have offended God on a daily basis. And He expects us to do the same. He expects us to live a Christ-like life. Be holy, for I am holy. I can't repeat that statement enough. And so He says, if you want to pray and receive answers and be heard, you need to forgive people. Don't harbor a grudge. Don't hold hard feelings to anyone, no matter what they've done or what they've said or what they plan to do. Just forgive them, love them, and let God take care of everything from there. All right? Let's turn over now to Philippians chapter 4. There's two more here. We got about 4 minutes, so we're doing well to be able to finish this evening. Philippians chapter 4, very familiar verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A lot of Christians don't have peace. Well, God tells us this is the answer. Their prayer life is lacking. If we're in prayer like we ought to be, we will experience peace. But that's not either one of the blanks, because both of them count on verse number 6. First of all, we're to pray confidently. Be careful for nothing. Of course, the idea of care there is anxious. Don't be anxious about anything, or don't be worried about anything. Just bring it to God. Don't worry about it being too big, because with God all things are possible. Don't worry about it being too small, because if He cares for the sparrow, how much more does He care for you? And so don't be concerned. Just come confidently before God. He's interested. He desires to help in your particular situation. And then also pray gratefully, with thanksgiving. That thought, now I probably told you before, but that thought is what led me to Christ. Not immediately, but it's what got me thinking, because I was in a really bad spot in my life. And I remember being bored and flipping through the channels and got really desperate. So I went to the UHF. You remember that, when you had VHF and UHF, and watched just about 10 seconds of a religious show, and that was the whole point of what his message was, is when we pray, too often we only ask, and we never thank. That got me thinking, and I started thanking God, even though I didn't know God, for the things he's given me in my life, and one thing led to another. It was only a few months after that I heard the gospel and got saved. And so we just need to learn to be thankful, grateful. I mean, if you have trouble being thankful for stuff, just think about your salvation. Because you can spend a lot of time just on the truths of what happened when you got saved. Delivered from hell, promised heaven, the mansion that awaits, the rewards that can be yours, the forgiveness of sins, the buying back from the slave market, or redemption. I can go on and on and on. The Holy Spirit's indwelling presence and all the things that He does for us. Spend time just thanking God in your prayers. And how often, don't raise your hands, but how often do you just do that? Spend time thanking God. A lot of times we might follow the Lord's model prayer and spend a little bit of time worshiping God, but we spend very little time in thanksgiving. And I think a lot of it is because we aren't watchful in prayer. God answers a prayer, and we haven't been paying attention. We take it for granted, and we go our merry way. And then when we go to prayer again, we don't thank God for the answered prayer because we didn't even notice. And so this, I think, is a key element in our prayer lives that is lacking in the average Christian. And so don't be like that. Be grateful. He says, again, in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And so just some suggestions on prayer. And I told you at the beginning last week, I wasn't going to say anything new. These are things you all know. But the Lord repeats the subject of prayer and our need to be in prayer and regular and faithful over and over and over. And so from time to time, we'll look at it and just, I think, good, healthy reminders. How's your prayer life? I hope it will improve. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us now as we each go our separate ways. Again, be with Donna at this time. Father, just bless her. Father, give the doctors wisdom as they attend to her. And Father, just help them to diagnose the issue. Well, thank you for what you'll do now in Jesus' name. Amen.